morning, everybody. I hope all of you are taking good care of yourself and one another. I promise you I'm doing that as well. Let us pray for each other, support each other, give hope to each other. This is a time that we need to be church in a very different way. And let's just come together as a people of God and be brothers and sisters to each other. So I want to begin my homily today with the story of a priest. I'm sure the Italians would pronounce this very differently than I'm going to do, but I think his name is pronounced Berardelli. Hopefully I'm right and I'm not butchering his name. But this is a priest, a 72-year-old Italian priest. He has been a priest for 47 years. And he had been serving as a priest in the Diocese of Bergamo, northern Italy, which was one of the areas hit hardest by the coronavirus. Now, Berardelli had been suffering from a respiratory condition for some time. So his parish had purchased for him a breathing apparatus for him to cope. And then the coronavirus hit. On March 15th, in living out his priestly calling, he made the ultimate sacrifice. The machine that he had, the respirator that he had, he gave it away to help another younger patient survive. But it cost him his own life. As we head to the climatic events of Holy Week, the sacrifice of this priest mirrors the sacrifice of Jesus. But there is more. I think it is also a reminder to us that life is bigger than life. Our life on earth is a prelude to something even more stunning, more awesome, more glorious. A life with God in eternity. And Jesus is the one who gets us there. I have three brief points for reflection for you today. And I want to talk about life and death, Jesus and us. So here's my first point. Folks, we can understand the story of the resurrection of Jesus from many, many perspectives, but I consider the life-giving story of Jesus, the life-giving story of the resurrection of Lazarus, to be a story that puts life in perspective. See, we might be inclined to think of the climax of the story to be the resurrection of Lazarus. That's how Hollywood movies are, right? We're used to the television screen. We look for the climax. And what's the climax? Man, Jesus raised him from the dead. However, the way John writes the story, and I'm saying this at the risk of minimizing Lazarus' place in the story, Lazarus is but a prop in the story. The real point of the story is that God, through Jesus, has invited Mary, Martha, and indeed the whole world to share in God's eternal life. That's the point of the story. The resurrection of Lazarus is meant to demonstrate in real and tangible way. We call it sacrament. The word sacrament did not exist then. But if you want to use Catholic language, the resurrection of Lazarus is a very sacramental thing. It's something tangible. It's something we can touch and feel. The resurrection is meant to demonstrate that life leads to life. There is only one thing needed for this. Total, unconditional, uncompromising faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that all of us have that faith. challenging us to is to look at that faith in this time of isolation. See, we know what we can touch, the Eucharist, but gosh, you cannot receive the Eucharist today. We can touch holy water in church, and we know what that feels like. We can stand with our community and hold hands and pray the Our Father. We can't do this now in church. Is it all a bad thing? I think, just like Mary and Martha, who are being invited to believe differently, today we are being challenged to take our faith to another level. Yes, believing means something very different these days. But there's one thing that has not changed: Jesus Christ. I believe that worshiping in the way that we are is giving us new perspective. Didn't I say that the resurrection of Lazarus is meant to give us perspective? Let's ask ourselves, what does believing mean now? How is this coronavirus putting our faith in perspective? Can we still believe like Mary and Martha? Secondly, as we read Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' story 2,000 years later, right, we realize that we take many things for granted. Let me explain. Mary and Martha did not know what it meant to believe in Jesus as the resurrection and the life. They did not. Jesus had not died yet. What did they want? They wanted Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's all they wanted. But you see where Jesus takes them? Jesus almost had to coax that faith out of them. In the end, he says to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, your brother will live?" I mean, he's struggling to get this faith out of them. They finally do, but it takes them a certain amount of time to get there. Now, 2,000 years later, we are not where Mary and Martha were, right? We know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. In fact, we baptize our children believing that when we are baptized, we die into Christ and we rise with him to new life. In other words, we are in an envious position. We already believe that Jesus is eternal life. And so this is what I tell myself all the time. I tell myself all the time, don't waste your time trying to get into eternal life. Live your eternity now. Because our eternity began at our baptism. Eternity is not yet to come. We're already living it. Our eternity is not something we await. Let us live now like we are already there. There's a danger, though. How many things we can take for granted. Mary and Martha did not know what we know. When we could come to church, and when we could receive communion, when we could go for confession, when we could take the holy water and bless ourselves, did we take those things for granted? Those things that we are missing now, gosh, how easy it is to take for granted. I miss all of you. But I also realize how much I've taken you for granted. So I am sure that all of us can look into our lives and say, dear God, thank you for that you've given us and we've taken it all for granted. We know so much, and yet we have taken it all for granted. Please give us the grace to never take our faith for granted. And thirdly, I must end this homily with a with the one who is our resurrection and our life, Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we don't totally comprehend what Christ has done for us. Do we have Christian hope these days? Any hope? That's Christ. That's Jesus. Without him, without his life and death and resurrection, this wouldn't happen. He faced severe opposition, intense suffering, and a brutal death to get us to the place where we are. The commentary that I referred to in preparing this homily, the scripture scholar, has titled this part of his commentary, "A Resurrection That Led to Death." A resurrection that led to death. And of course, what he's saying is, Jesus' life-giving ministry among us led to his death. We live because he died. A resurrection that leads to death. Just like Father Berardelli, eternal life comes from the death of Jesus. That priest gave his life so somebody else may live. Jesus gave his life so all of us could live. So I'm saying today, Jesus is calling us to more than just a confession of faith like Mary and Martha. We must be so grateful. We must not only just confess, but we must bow down in absolute, total surrender and worship. Our God is with us these days. Folks, without that death on the cross, what would we do with the 32,000 people that have died of the coronavirus? Who would we entrust them to? Who would we entrust them to? But we can choose to believe that God has, through Jesus Christ, embraced them into his eternal home. How much should we be grateful? So may this Eucharist today be an expression of our absolute surrender and faith in a God who calls us to believe even more than we have ever done when we were not in isolation. And as we worship, let's thank God. Let's not take anything for granted. Let's just be grateful for what we have now. Let us live our eternity now. People of God said, Amen.